Well, good morning. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to have been invited to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association forum here this morning. For over a month, the BSE issue has been front and center with us as everyone has concerns about public health, food safety, and as well as their livelihoods. However, on the brighter side, the American public remains confident in the U.S. meat supply, and for good reason. With organizations such as the NCBA taking a leadership role in tackling the BSE issue and protecting the livestock industry, consumer confidence was not wavered. I especially pleased that NCBA modified this annual convention to address BSE and provide these interactive forums. Government also has played a major role for maintaining high consumer confidence. FSIS has implemented a number of sound, science-based measures over the past couple of years that has driven down salmonella, listeria, and E. coli 015787. These prevalence rates in meat and poultry have decreased. In addition, the number of meat and poultry product recalls in 2003 decreased significantly from that in 2002. And of course, FSIS and its sister agencies moved effectively and forcefully upon the discovery of a single case of BSE in this country, further strengthening already formidable BSE prevention measures were initiated. When it comes to our inspection system, we apply the gold standard to further improve food safety and public health. The Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Point System, or HACCP, is the one of choice, of course, we all know. When I came on board at FSIS, I made it very clear to everyone within FSIS and the establishments that we regulate that we all will be held accountable for knowing and operating effectively under HACCP. It is simply in all of our best interests to do so. Consumers benefit, government fulfills its responsibility to the fullest, industry profits from producing the highest quality product, and above all, public health improves. It's what I call a common sense approach to improving public health. But to improve public health, it goes even farther than applying our gold standard to slaughter and food processing establishments. It is critical that every segment of the farm-to-table chain be held accountable for providing the safest product possible to the next segment of the chain. The principles of HACCP are the standard accepted throughout the world, a standard that we know works. HACCP is the most scientifically advanced process for food safety worldwide. Food safety is too important to be left to guesswork or luck. HACCP gives the assurance that potential hazards are controlled and eliminated from the food production cycle. I urge you to examine your own operations for improvements that can be made and points where the HACCP system can be employed. This is why FSIS is working with livestock producers, researchers, and other parties to develop a list of best practice management techniques for animal production facilities such as feedlots to provide guidance in reducing pathogen loads before slaughter. As many of you know, last September we held a symposium to discuss ways to significantly reduce E. coli 15787 in live animals before slaughter. The dialogue that was generated from that meeting was very beneficial toward our development of guidelines outlining best management practices at the pre-harvest stage, which we expect to publish these data in this coming year. Once these guidelines are developed, you can expect to see an aggressive grassroots outreach effort by FSIS to distribute these to producers and other interested parties. This is just one way in which we are fulfilling our public health duty. Although we don't have jurisdiction over producers, transporters, retail establishments, and consumers, We work with all these segments to ensure that they have the most current information and know-how in order to produce the safest products possible. Working together is not only critical for lowering microbial contamination, but it is essential when it comes to the BSC challenge. I believe this issue will further close the gap between all the links of the farm-to-table chain. This is absolutely what we need to improve public health: greater cooperation, communication, and control over the safety and wholesomeness of meat. To this end, FSIS has been working closely with APHIS, FDA, state governments, industry, and consumers to ensure our BSE prevention and response measures are fully effective here in the United States. I'd like to focus the rest of my discussion on what FSIS is doing to protect the beef supply against BSE. I know that many of you are fully aware of these recent rules, but I want to review them at this time to provide a springboard for discussions later in this forum. First, as you know, on December 30th, 2003, Secretary Vinnerman announced a ban on all non-ambulatory disabled cattle from entering the human food supply. We define non-ambulatory disabled cattle as cattle that cannot rise from a recumbent position or cannot walk. There are also cattle that have had broken appendages, severed tendons or ligaments, nerve paralysis, fractured vertebral column, or metabolic conditions. FSIS veterinary medical officers, or VOMs as you may know them, are responsible for enforcing this ban, and we provided them clear details on how and if cattle are to be condemned at the slaughterhouse. For instance, in the case where an animal has passed the VMO's antimortem inspection at the slaughter establishment and then suffers an acute injury, such as falling or breaking a leg on its way to the knock box, the VMO will verify that the animal suffered such an acute injury and allow it to be slaughtered. However, in cases where a VMO cannot determine that a specific acute injury occurred that caused the animal to become non-ambulatory, then the VMO will condemn the animal and prevent it from entering the slaughterhouse establishment. VMOs will also continue to condemn cattle that are showing central nervous system symptoms, even if the animal is ambulatory. The VMO will contact the APHIS, Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, and the area veterinarian in charge will have an opportunity to collect the BSE surveillance samples. Following the Secretary's immediate ban on all non-ambulatory disabled cattle, FSIS issued four new regulatory regulations to further enhance safeguards to prevent BSE from entering the food supply. These actions add an additional level of protection to an existing strong food safety program. The first policy is actually a notice, which announces that our inspectors are no longer marking cattle tested for BSE as inspected in the past until confirmation is received that the cattle have, in fact, tested negative for BSE. We are referring to this as a test and hold policy. The second policy is an interim final rule on specified risk material. We declared that skull, brain, trigeminal ganglia, eyes, vertebral column, spinal cord, and dorsal root ganglia of cattle 30 months of age or older, and the small intestine of all cattle are specific risk materials, and that these materials are prohibited from entering the human food supply. Tonsils from all cattle are already considered inedible and therefore do not enter the food supply. These enhancements are consistent with the actions taken by Canada after discovery of BSE there in May. To help determine the age of cattle before they are slaughtered, we issue two forms of guidance to our VMOs. When an animal is presented for slaughter, the VMOs need to first examine documentation such as birth records, cattle passports, or some other form of age and identification verification. If the VMOs find there are significant reasons for questioning the validity of these records, or there are no records, and then they are directed to verify the age of the cattle through dental examinations. When they, the VMOs, examine an animal's teeth and see that at least one of the second set of permanent incisors has erupted, then he or she will consider that animal to be 30 months of age and older. We recognize that permanent incisors of cattle erupt from 24 to 30 months of age, but to be in the conservative side and most protective of public health, we will err on the side of caution and go with this prescribed dentation procedure. The third policy is an interim final rule on advanced meat recovery, AMR. FSIS had previously established and enforced regulations that prohibit spinal cord from being included in products labeled as meat. This rule expanded that prohibition to include dorsal root ganglia clusters of nerve cells connected to the spinal cord along the vertebral column. In addition to spinal cord tissue, those are being looked at as well. Also, because of the vertebral column and the skull in cattle 30 months and older will be considered as inedible as well. We will not allow them to be used for AMR. In our efforts to help the owners and operators of small and very small establishments that process cattle or produce products using AMR, we are holding a series of teaching workshops from January through March of this year. The workshops are designed for small and very small establishments, state plants, state program personnel as well. We want to ensure that all processors receive and understand this new regulation. This outreach effort is an effort to go forward and is a prime example of how we reach out and educate partners along the farm-to-table chain to ensure that the safest food reaches the American tables. These workshops are being held in Tacoma, Washington, Boise, Idaho, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Madison, Wisconsin, and Binghamton, New York, on the following days you see here on the screen. We hold them on Saturdays to meet the needs of many small business owners because we realize it's very difficult for them to take time off during the week and close production for that training. Finally, the fourth policy is an interim final rule to ban the practice of air injection stunning. This was done to ensure that portions of the brain are not dislocated into the tissues of the carcass as a consequence of humanely stunning cattle during the slaughter process. While the use of this type of stunning device is not common, officially banning it from use not only ensures that it will be prohibited domestically, but will also make it a requirement for equivalency for foreign establishments. All four of these regulations become effective on January 12, 2004. There is a comment period, for each of the final interim rules. And if you have questions or comments that come up from today's discussions or that you may already have, I would encourage you to submit your written comments to FSIS docket clerk by April the 12th, which is the deadline. You can also follow the latest agency policies on BSE and other factors affecting food safety through FSIS's constituent update, which is a weekly newsletter that provides a wrap-up of key agency information, notices, directives, and upcoming meetings. If you are not currently receiving our constituent update newsletter, I urge you to sign up for it, and you can do so on our website. Of course, there's no cost, and there's absolutely no strings attached to getting that new service. This is one of the many ways we communicate with all segments of the farm-to-table chain. These recent measures to further prevent BSE demonstrate how committed the Bush administration and the Department of Agriculture are to protecting public health and improving our food safety system through sound science and sound science-based measures. These BSE measures are aggressive and advanced, and we are quite confident that they will prevent BSE from getting into the U.S. food supply in the future. However, we can only look at what the future may be. We can't justify or rely on measures alone. As I mentioned earlier, all parties need to take responsibility and work together to ensure that our food supply is the safest in the world. Quite often, difficult challenges make us stronger and more resolute in our determination to overcome them. I believe overcoming the BSE challenge will only bring us all closer, further improving an already robust and effective food system in the United States. This is vital to ensuring public health and will in turn ensure consumer confidence in the U.S. beef products. I appreciate your time here today and look forward to the interactive discussions later. Thank you.